Hey, what's happening? You know, it's your man, T.I. and me, Good Dogs. This episode number 8, talking about premarital bliss, all that lovey-dovey stuff that happens in the beginning. What do we really, really think was going to happen once we got knee-deep into the marriage? Well, I'm going to go in on this one. This going to be fun. I'm going dolo on this one. There's some things that I wrote back in 2016-17. I'm going to revisit those things now, almost 3 years later into the marriage. Y'all check me out. Good Dogs.
That's dope.
All right, so what I'm going to tackle, this is pretty much like a fill in the blank almost sort of thing where I'll just give an example. So you should build up blank before building a marriage. I put communication. Without communication, there's no point of anything else, I feel. So, I mean, that's, you know, far and beyond. I think a lot of times people fail to communicate within a marriage. A lot of times I use nonverbal communication. Don't even really have to speak. You know, it's just you go off. Look, so you go off like body temperament. So, you know, that's something that I still work on to this day with my wife communicating, whether it be about, you know, just, you know, bills, children, individual goals. I always thought that was very necessary to establish non-communicating, you know, non-verbal skill communicating, should I say, where you don't have to always do a whole lot of explaining and talking, just kind of go off each other's energy, each other's vibe. So that's that one. Like I said, this is just something that was done like 3 years ago. So I'm just going over it again, but it's still vital today. What are 6 descriptive statements or adjectives that would describe a truly single individual? I put inconsistent, a party goer, busybody, procrastinator, subliminal, and lazy. 6 descriptive statements or adjectives that would describe a truly single individual. So I'm going to stay here for a minute. This is pretty much describing a person who doesn't even need to get married. They shouldn't even be thinking about getting married. They could be inconsistent in their approach, inconsistent in their delivery as far as the communicating, all over the place, go outside a lot, you know, never really home, you know, procrastinating for sure, you know, as far as, well, you know, I said I was going to, you know, get to the garage, or I say I was going to, you know, do the yard work, or I say I'm going to take the car to get it, you know, checked out. You know, these are things that I knew in the beginning I was looking for rather than the good things in a marriage. You understand? So it wasn't a need to play around with that and sitting there wondering if somebody was going to do something they said they weren't going to do. And I already knew at certain times. I remember my wife told me, when I was dating, she said, "I don't need you to be Superman if you're really Clark Kent." She said she liked Clark Kent. Intelligent, you know, mild-mannered, you know, wasn't trying to do too much. Always was looking to, you know, just kind of be in the mix and just be real, you know, open about things and just kind of be upfront. So, I mean, I took those words and it meant, I know what it meant then. I know what it means now. So, yeah, you know, you don't have to play, you know, a certain individual if you're not that individual. The lazy part, definitely. Not dealing with nothing lazy, you know, or nothing to where you're second guessing, which goes into procrastinating. So that lazy part, you know, if you know it's a Saturday and the house hasn't been cleaned, or, you know, like I said, certain things with the vehicles have been taken care of. I mean, that person that's single, you know, they can take care of their car, take care of their home, whenever they feel like it. But when you're living with somebody and you wake up to them and the house is dirty, or the yard is out of shape, or the car is dirty, or need maintenance, and they telling you, nah, they not going to do it, or they don't know when they gonna get to it, that's a no. So, yeah. And I stopped partying years ago. I guess once I started having children, I pretty much slowed down the partying. So, man, this is wild looking at all this stuff. Now, that busybody part, yeah, like always in people's business or always, you know, overhearing somebody else's marriage or overhearing somebody else's relationship and not worrying about your own. Yeah, that's some single shit for sure. All right, what three ingredients from God ensure a happy marriage? This has a question mark behind it, so I guess it's anybody that can say whatever, you know, what three attributes. I would say trust, love, and loyalty. Those three things tie in because that's what God told us to do is trust, and he also loves us, and he wants our loyalty to him to ensure a happy marriage. And again, that word happy is based on trust. It is based on reciprocal love, and it is based on being loyal to your mate. That means there's no infidelity. You're not out here gambling the money. You're not out here. You don't know where your mate is or where their whereabouts are. Just stay single. You know, so, you know, God said he'll give us these things, and he will make sure these things, they manifest through his loyalty and also for our love to him. So, again, you know, this is 4 years, man, but this is good stuff. All right, it says, list the steps a person takes to recover from a separation or divorce. I'm not sure. That's an individual, you know, decision for that person. Recovering from a separation or divorce is almost like recovering, you know, from being an addict, whether that's gambling, drugs, you know, alcohol, whatever. You're not sure. The first thing, I guess, would be is to admitting whatever was going on in the separation or divorce, you know, recognizing, you know, the do's and don'ts that happened in that relationship and where it got you to the point you're at now. So, yeah, on that one, that's a tough one. I'm not sure because I'm not thinking about divorce. I hope mine's not either. All right, marriage is the joining or uniting of two, I put individuals. You first got to be your own person. You know, you can't expect the other person to take what you lack and cover for it. You have to have your own individual needs, your own individual desires, goals, aspirations, and then you unite. I mean, at least that's what I think. All right. This one here. List at least five different views concerning singleness, marriage, separation, and divorce that you have personally changed in your own mind since completing this book. Five different views concerning singleness. There's nothing wrong with being single. There's nothing wrong at all. Some people need time. Some people like being single. Some people don't really want to share who they are to other people. It can be a time thing. They don't want to do it, you know, when the other person is telling them that they should do it. They want to do it when they're ready for it. So maybe they can wait until they're ready for it. So separation and divorce that you have personally changed in your own mind. Like I said, again, separation is something different. And I guess you can separate from somebody and not be divorced. Maybe y'all need time, a way to figure out what that looks like. Maybe a divorce isn't in your future, but maybe separating for a few months or separating for a little bit can give you a better understanding of, should I be single again or should I commit to this marriage? So, like again, everyone has their own view on that. All right, this one here, this is multiple choice that I filled out. And each multiple choice has four different answers you can provide. So the first one is love is a warm feeling, a sensual attraction to another, a conscious decision, or a subject for novels. I put C. I put a conscious decision. Two, panic is their fear in action. Is a nervous rising of adrenaline for success. C, what God does when we sin. D, a way to release tension. I put A, fear in action. Number three, a sound mind means A, taking two aspirin, as if, having a whole week without kids, being intellectually educated and smart, or D, correct thinking without fear? I put D, correct thinking without fear. Exactly. Indeed. Four, the door of openness is a very friendly feeling toward all people, an honest desire to face the truth, an entrance for sin and emotional sickness to enter your life, or D, an unlocked door. I put D, an unlocked door. The door of openness is unlocked. It's up to you. You want to walk through it? It's right there. If you don't, then it's going to be uncomfortable. Turn that knob. Choice is ours. Solitary healing is isolating yourself from people in self-protection, sitting in a garden to watch nature. Could be spending time alone with God, watching television with your friends. I put spending time alone with God. We're talking about a marriage, right? So I'm looking for some healing, whether that's individual healing or that's healing within marriage. I need to spend time alone with God first, I feel, and then come back to my mate. And maybe not tell her everything that God and I discussed or that he laid on me, but the things that I took from that conversation and hope to try to, you know, shed some light and understanding towards my mate. All right. Let me see what we got here. So, yeah, that was the multiple choice. It was just those, what was that, five? It was just those five right here. So, oh, my goodness. Look at this here. Your role conceptions, concepts comparison. What do you believe about roles in marriage? Here we go. 12 minutes in. I know I was going to get to the good stuff. I'm not even going to skip this. I'm going to read right what I put. Again, what do you believe about roles in marriage? One, strongly agree. Two, mildly agree. Three, not sure. Four, mildly disagree. Or five, strongly disagree. So it has A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, all the way through S. I'm going to read this and read my answers. I don't have my wife's answers, but I have mine's. I need to find hers so I can see what she put, because I don't know what she put. All right. I put the husband is the head. Well, they have the husband is the head of the home. I'm going to put one. Strongly agree. That's just what it is. You have the last name. So that's what it is. If men had the option to have the woman's last name, we'd talk about a whole nother different ball game, wouldn't we? But that's not the case. So B, next one, B. The wife should not be employed outside the home. I put mildly disagree, depending on what her profession is. She may, you know, she may be a stewardess. She may be an airplane flight attendant or whatever. You know, she may be in the military. So if she's in the military, one, she's contributing. One, she is gave her life and her put her family, you know, in a position where she decided she wanted to go out and make sure her family is secure, but she's out fighting for her country. So I mean, I disagree with that. She can be employed outside the home as long as it's benefiting the home. C, the husband should help regularly with the household chores. Absolutely. I strongly agree. You eat, don't you? You should at least wash the dishes or rotate. What's the issue? I read a Facebook post not too long ago where I think somebody posted, should a man do chores around the house? For shit show, he should. He live in it. Unless he want to be nasty and trifling and sit in his own mess. I mean, if I see my wife's clothes in the basket, am I going to wait till the basket fill up and for her to look at the basket to say, well, let me start these clothes? Or should I just take the basket, start washing the clothes, and then when they're done, don't look to her to fold them or whatever, do them myself and put them on her side of the room and she can put them up, period. I don't understand why that would be an issue, but again, this goes back to people who need to be single. All right, D. It is all right for the wife to initiate lovemaking with her husband. For shit show. One, strongly agree. Why not? And this ties into happy house, happy spouse. And something my man posted the other day, a woman want sex more than the man do. It's just that men mess it up by saying stuff they shouldn't say half the time. That's what I heard. Most times men put their foot in their mouth and they can get it without even having to ask for it. They just gotta do the right things, I guess. So yeah, it's definitely okay for her to initiate. She can do that anytime she please. Now sometimes, you know what I'm saying, depending on what type of day I may have had or going on, I may not be in the mood, you know, but that's a wife's job, right, to kind of get you there if she know you well enough. That's another subject. Anyway, let me go on. E, the husband and wife should plan the budget and manage money matters together. Strongly agree. How you going to live with somebody and you don't know what they make or what's coming into the home in order for you to manage the money together? I mean, you talking about divorce then. You don't want to plan and budget the money you making together. I mean, how you going to take care of the bills? How you going to take care of saving? That's a one all day in my book. F, neither the husband nor the wife should purchase an item costing more than $100 without consulting the other. I put mildly disagree. You should know your mate well enough at some point to know their spending habits. You know, if my wife and I got joint Amazon accounts, so we can each look right in the cart and look in to see what's been purchased or what's in the cart. Recently, because of COVID, my wife was ordering a whole bunch of Lysols and a whole bunch of wipes, and I didn't say one thing about it because I'm like, well, I got OCD, and she don't mind cleaning. I love to clean. It's a form of stress relief for me, cleaning. And then we got children. So can't be in here not purchasing things that benefit the home. As far as shopping, like clothes and electronics, and, you know, outside things like that, we don't gamble. So, you know, we don't go and buy expensive clothes, things like that. My clothes been fitting me for the past 3 years, so I don't spend a whole lot of money on things anyway that's unnecessary. So, but definitely, you know, you don't have to consult each time you make a purchase over 100. I mean, maybe over 250, 500, but can't really put a limit on what you purchase. You know, we're not talking about going out buying a car without somebody knowing, or you understand what I'm saying, or going out buying $500 purse. That's extreme, but people do it. I guess that's why they're single. All right. G, the father is the one responsible for disciplining the children. I mildly agree. Yeah, being the head of household, we set the standard. So if the wife is looking at how we discipline the children, if she doesn't like it, then she has that right to step in and say something. And at least say something to the husband, you know, to the father, and say, hey, look, I don't think that, you know, that approach you took with Junior or with baby girl was the right one. So, you know, can we talk about some other options that maybe we both can go in on them with disciplining them? Example, if they're fighting and they lying about fighting, or that, you know, someone took something out the cabinet or refrigerator that they know wasn't for them, and I gave them specific instructions to not touch it, you know, back in the day, you got your butt whooped. And then you, even if you had a chance to explain what you did, it didn't make a difference. You got your ass whooped and you was on punishment. So this would be something that, you know, we would share the duty, I guess, in disciplining them. So yeah, mildly agree. H, a wife who has special talent should have a career. I'm not sure. Depending on what the talent is. What are we talking about? She a dancer? She a sing? Can she sing? Does she play an instrument? I mean, maybe she just has a hobby. You know, I mean, maybe that's just what her hobby is. A special talent. What are we talking about? Pole dancing? We got a pole in here. She don't get on it no more. Because, you know, children older now, we not really trying to put that type of environment in their eyes like that. They see a pole in here and they know it ain't aerobics. They know it's something else. So, I don't know. Special talent? I mean, what are we talking? I put 3. I wasn't sure at that time, and I'm still not sure. I'm curious to know what she put, though. I'm going to have to ask on that one. It is the wife's responsibility to keep the house neat and clean. Mildly disagree. Again, this goes back to C. The husband should help regularly with the household chores. I mean, when we say regularly, if you see some trash on the ground, you're going to wait for her to come home from work, or after she done fed the kids, or after she done did everything else, to tell, hey, you know, the house need to be straightened up, and you been here home all day, or you got home before her. Nah, it ain't her responsibility. It's joint. You know what I mean? So I put a full, I mildly disagree on that. I mean, unless she wants to do that, I'm not going to knock her. If she wants to keep it house, the house clean each and every time she sees something wrong with it, but that's what you got children for, to teach them chores. So, I mean, yeah, that was on that one. Let's see, Jay. The husband should take his wife out somewhere twice a month. Agree. Strongly disagree. Sorry, strongly agree. Yes, we were doing that when I was courting my wife. We were going out at least twice a month, every other weekend. Whether we went out to the movies, went out to see a concert, or just went out by the water and just sat around and just, you know, talk and things like that nature. Didn't take a lot of money. We just went out and just enjoyed each other's company. But yes, what you won't do, somebody else is waiting to do. It's a true statement. So I ain't want that to happen. So I made sure that I catered to her at least twice a month. And I set it up and I made the, you know, I gave her the option of where she wanted to go and what she wanted to do. Or either she would submit something to me and I would say, all right, well, let me check it out. And then I'd get back to you. And then we would go. And I mean, shoot, we've been doing it ever since then. From taking vacations to skydiving, you know, we've been doing it. So definitely. Okay, the wife is just as responsible for the children's discipline as the husband. I put mildly agree. Again, I mean, that ties into what I put, that ties into G. The father is the one responsible. I put mildly agree. It's an even kill right there. You both are responsible for the children's discipline. I mean, unless he isn't home, unless he's one of those, you know, again, unless he's in the military or unless he has a job where he works at night and she's home during the day with the kids, I mean, yeah, she's just as responsible, but not all the way. It's still both on that accord. It is the husband's job to do the yard work. Mildly disagree. My wife likes doing yard work. She said that's a part of her release. It's a part of her, you know, way to just unwind. She likes to be out in the yard. She's a country girl, so she grew up doing yard work. Doesn't bother her. I love it. I was all for it because I did so much yard work when I was young with my dad. I told her I got tired of cutting grass and raking leaves and trimming trees and all that. I'm so glad I had children. Next. The mother should be the one who teaches value to the children. I put mildly disagree. When you say value, that's both. Both should be teaching values. We put this stigma on the mother should be the only one teaching the child values. But if the mother is the only one teaching the values to the children and the children don't have discipline, the values and the discipline won't add up. They won't. You can teach them value all day, but if they're not disciplined in those values and those morals, it's a wrap. They're not going to want to respect it. N, children should be allowed to help plan family activities. And I put mildly agree. Just depends on the age and the activities. We let our children plan activities depending on how much it costs, where it is, and who it's with. If it's immediate family, most times that's a go. You know what I mean? Again, it depends on where it's at, how much it costs. But they'll plan an evening to watch a movie together. They'll plan an evening to do gaming together. They'll plan an evening to, you know, go outside in the backyard, go to the park, you know, things like that. Read. Recently, since COVID, we've been reading to each other a lot. They'll pick a book. They'll read a couple of chapters out of the book, and then we'll have them give a summary of what they read. We've been doing that a lot. Pool table. Got a punching bag in here, so, you know, we'll go in and hit the bag for a little bit, stay active, stay in shape. So, yeah, definitely agree on that one. They should be able to plan some of that. All right. Oh, children develop better in a home with parents who are strict disciplinarians. Mildly agree. Depends on how strict you are. We don't allow gaming during the week unless it's like a half a day, and we've checked all their Google classwork and there's no missing assignments and there's no bad reports about missing from the camera or they've been absent from class on their Zoom. But they do develop better when both of us you know, give strict set rules like, look, this is your lunch for the day. This is the time you're going to eat. You're not going to be eating all times of the day. And then come dinner time, you don't want to eat because you didn't eat sugar all afternoon. So we definitely let them know that this is what happens in the morning when you get up, as far as getting yourself together. This is what happens during the day. You know what time it is after class is over and school is done. You go outside and get whatever activities you need to get in, come back in, get ready for the evening, and then get ready for school the next day. Usually dinner time is around this time, so don't get lost. You know, make sure you get your showers and all that stuff set in. But I do believe they develop better, you know, mildly. I mean, you can't be too hard on them because then they start to rebel. You know, you got to set standards of how strict you're going to be with them. And this depends on the age, because most kids under the age of 11 are selfish. They don't know what it is to really deal with any strict, you know, consequences. So I mildly agree. Money that the wife earns is her money. Strongly disagree. Then she might as well be single. Because the key word here is wife. So whatever money she earning, unless it's money that he knows about and he's fine with it, it's not her money. It's combined money. Same as with the husband. Next. The husband or wife should have at least one night a week out with his or her friends. Agree. If they choose to. Don't have to, but it doesn't hurt. It actually helps. I mean, shit, miss me for a day or two. Let me miss you for a night. You know what I mean? My wife, she just took a trip not too long ago to go to the mountains with her homegirl and her niece and baby girl. I was good. I was here taking care of business. I was here in the house. Didn't go nowhere. Wasn't out tricking or none of that. Was home, chilling. She checked back in at night. She enjoyed herself. She took care of herself. She unwound for a little bit. That's what it is. I may go out to the studio once a week. You know what I mean? Or may go kick it with, you know what I'm saying, my good men. But definitely need a break from each other. That's not an option. It's fine with us. Always been. All right, R. The wife should always be the one to cook. Strongly disagree. Nah. If you eating, you should help cooking. You should help cook. It's not a problem. Plus, I like to know what I'm eating. So I like to peek in every now and then and be like, what you adding? Okay, let me make this side dish over here to add to that. And what that shows her is it shows her a concern. It shows her, like, well, not a concern. It shows that I give a shit about the fact that she's preparing a meal and that if I can help out, if she allows me, then it's cool. If she don't, I'll step to the side, see what else needs to be done. But the wife should absolutely not be the only one to cook. Absolutely not. All right, S. The husband's responsibility is to his job and the wife's responsibility is to the home and children. Disagree. This is not 1960s and 50s. Again, this is 100-100. That's how I'm going with it. It's both their job for the home and the children. Both. I mean, that's why you're married. You know, you're under God and he's provided you with the children and the home to take care of. So it's a joint responsibility. So, yeah, that was it, I think, on that one. Yeah, it went to S. So that's quite interesting that I still feel the same way almost 4 years ago as I do today. Oh, this one is good. What is a helper in your opinion, in your fiance's opinion? I put able to assist with home and children responsibly. Just what I just finished reading with those multiple choice. That's what it is. It's able to assist, not take over, not be the only one in charge. Able to assist with the home, everything included. Duties, children, bills, projects, everything. So, yeah, I'm gonna stop what I read and what was in this book and just pretty much kind of free fall from here on here on there, but on that one. But yeah, it's interesting stuff, and there's no real right or wrong answer, you know, when dealing with how one feels. But it can be wrong answers when you knee deep into a marriage, and now you're starting to really get to know somebody. I mean, really getting to know somebody, like with the makeup off. My wife don't wear makeup. She wear makeup on her wedding day. That's it. If she's wore it again after that, I don't remember. And I always wanted a plain Jane. I never wanted no beauty model. No offense. But I never wanted the woman that I had to keep up her appearance for her. You keep your own appearance up. Just like I should do for myself. I never wanted to have no tabs on a woman as far as how she dresses and how she looks. Because either I'm going to like it in the beginning and I'm going to see a pattern. And that pattern is going to continue, or it's not. And if that pattern doesn't fit my needs, then I'm going to pull back off of it. And we're going to have a conversation. But if a woman starts to dress low key, like she don't have a man at home, then that's a conversation that we need to have ASAP. Because that's not going to be a good look for myself. She can keep doing what she wants. But I don't have that issue. And I don't walk around wearing tank tops out in public to go to the Lidl. I don't go around to the gas station or hang out at bars, whatever, showing my tattoos, whatever, and showing, you know, nice watch, nice shoes and stuff. I'm not out here to impress somebody else. You know, I'm only out here to look good for myself and for my mate. And that's just off of that. So a few other things. When we talk about premarital bliss, because that's the name of this episode, is premarital bliss. Those things that you look at in the beginning that you're all excited about and that you want to continue, but you don't put the effort in to keep those things going through the marriage. The surprise flowers, you know, for the men that game out here, that I'm an avid gamer. You know what I mean? I love my PlayStations, my Xbox Ones. You know, I save money this way and my wife don't have a problem with it. I'm not out here gambling. I ain't out here pimping. I'm not out here, you know, out in the streets. So, you know, she'll come home and she'll be like, hey, I bought you this, you know, or I saw this in Amazon. You might need this for your system. And vice versa. I may be out at Five Below or one of my good stores I like going to, and I might screenshot her something I think she'll like and be like, oh, yeah. And then I may just get it, you know. So, you know, those type of things you keep doing deep into the marriage, you know, when you first started dating and you first started to like each other, you keep those things going because women pick up on that when you stop doing certain things like that. And they're not going to ask you why you stop doing them. They're going to notice you stop and they're going to move accordingly. So if you want to save any parts of your marriage to where you don't want your woman second guessing why you stop certain patterns, stay consistent. So we always trying to plan a trip or vacation somewhere. And she always asks me, what do you think about this location? I'm like, shoot, hey, I'm fine with it. Because the last three ones you picked, I loved all of them. So, you know, trusting your mate's judgment also is a continuance of those things you did in the beginning. You know, when you were thinking about trusting this person to get married to him in the first place. So I don't really have an issue. My wife isn't out here mismanaging the money. She's not mismanaging her health. We both have been trying to keep our health, you know, a better accord just due to COVID, first of all, but also because it's the right thing to do. I mean, we getting older. These kids are looking at us to see what we eat, what we purchase. I mean, all that's included. You know, you want to have a continuance of the things you set forth in the beginning as individuals before you got married to keep going. So marriage is definitely something that can be a beautiful thing. Divorce is ugly. That's the opposite of it. I'm not looking for no divorce. I love my wife and I love the person she has become. And I love what we have become. And I mean, it's not a struggle, but it's work. I don't look at it as a struggle. You know what I mean? A struggle is different from work. We look at this as, yeah, it's a business contract, but we were friends before any of this marriage came into play. And I think that's the backbone of all this that I've discussed, and which probably makes it a little more flexible for me to read these comments that I put 4 years ago here today in 2021, January 15th, that we were flexible in our friendship and we opened up enough early to figure out if this was going to rock or not. And Yeah, I mean, I wake up in the morning and my wife and I greet each other. It's not in the morning we wake up where we don't greet one another. I mean, that's just for us. Everybody doesn't you know, do that same thing. But how can you wake up to somebody and you not like them or you not greet them? I mean, that's ass backwards. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate the fact that I wake up to a woman that gives me the opportunity each and every day to give her what she needs just as much as I need, give her what I need. It's a beautiful thing. Like I said, we're going to keep this thing going. A lot of this that we've been doing, we've been kind of winging it. You understand? We just been winging it and just been kind of going on what we feel, but we've been putting God first. It's not a day go by we don't thank him individually and collectively for the opportunity to even be married and to be in this position. And I'm going to keep talking about marriage because that's what we are. We're married. And yes, it's beautiful and it can be difficult. I'm not going to say it can be a struggle again. It can be difficult to keep learning someone every day. You got mood swings. You know, you have ideas, dreams, goals that sometimes they don't add up. You got to talk about those things. I remember telling my wife 2 years ago, I'm tired of working for other people. And she said, okay, so what's your plan? And I said, well, in due time, as the children get older and we get a bigger house, which we did, and we get better source of income, which we have, then I can step to the side and not keep working this 9-to-5 for this corporate America that slaves us and gives us hardly any benefits. And we got to work till we 60 some years old to receive benefits. By then, where am I going to do with the money? What I'm going to do? Take vacations to Florida? Nah. So we're going to work now to get what we want now. And so she was all for it. Like, all right, what is your plan? I told her what my plan was. I wanted to have my own business. And that's what I'm working on right now. This podcast has helped me tremendously to be able to push that envelope. It's given me the understanding that I can do things separately but still benefit this household. And so going to business for myself is not just for me. It's for us and it's for these children and for their children. That's another subject. That ties into generational wealth. You know what I mean? My parents work, but that's all they did. They worked. That whole generation, they worked. And then they retired. And either you went into business for yourself or either you had to get a second job. And the money you got from retirement wasn't enough to live on. It was enough to take care of the bills you still had. And hopefully your house is paid off by the time you retired. So you can enjoy some of that retirement. That's not where we at. I'm not even trying to walk down that aisle. The aisle I walked down was a blissful aisle. And we're going to keep this thing going. So this concludes this episode of Good Dogs. Episode number 8, premarital bliss. It's a lot of meat and potatoes in this one here that I just provided y'all with. I hope y'all rock with this one. More to come from your man, T.I. and me. Good Dogs.
Uplifting the status of a search, baptized clean, but straight from the church. Grab a sit back and watch Gobi go to work. Oh my, it must hurt. Crucible of apologies, and every single verse fall over the novelty. Stuck in the poverty, somebody might come for me. Not running on E4, not starving. Lyrical ability, can't guard on.